Hi, Jeff Cohn. Welcome to KABU.
It's nice to be with you.
Jeff Cohn has taught journalism, directed the Perk Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College. He co-founded in 1986 the media watch group FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and still writes for them. Just seems like yesterday, but it's 34 years ago. He also co-founded the online action group, rootsaction.org. He wrote the book, Cable News Confidential, My Misadventures in Corporate Media. His website is jeffcohn.org. We're going to discuss Bernie and the Bernie campaign and how he could win both the Democratic Party nomination for president and then beat Trump. Super Tuesday was a disappointment. Jeff Cohn, what happened? How do you understand it?
Well, Biden had a lot of momentum. He had won big in South Carolina, and that got Buttigieg and Klobuchar to drop out and come to Texas and endorse him. He got some other establishment endorsements. Bloomberg spent a lot of money, but wasn't a huge factor. They thought that Bloomberg would take a lot of votes from Biden through a pure advertising campaign. So again, this was never going to be easy for Bernie. He's fighting the whole Democratic establishment. He's fighting the whole corporate media in this primary battle. The corporate media scared people about Bernie Sanders this time even more than they got a chance to do that in 2015, 2016. So it's an uphill battle for Bernie Sanders. It was always going to be an uphill battle. I'm frankly impressed. I'm here in Arizona, which is where they're going to have a primary on March 17. I'm blown away by the youth support for Bernie, the Latino support for Bernie, the union activist support for Bernie. So it's a great grassroots campaign, but it's tough to take on the Democratic Party establishment, all of the donors from Wall Street. It's hard to take on. Perhaps even more difficult is the corporate mainstream media, which is in lockstep against Bernie.
Yeah, they argue, Jeff, that Bernie is not electable. The New York Times and the Washington Post is particularly antagonistic. Bernie is not electable. And now, I don't think they're worried about electability. You wrote about that. We should talk about it. Let's talk about electability.
You're right. It's a media mantra that Bernie is a big risk. Bernie won't beat Trump. Bernie will cause a disaster in congressional and other down ballot races. The interesting thing is they say that, and right now we're down to Bernie and Biden. Biden seems incoherent in debate. He makes up stuff. He doesn't have an understanding of policy. And somehow we're supposed to believe the mainstream media that Biden would be a strong candidate, which is absurd. But I mean, the mantra is, without any evidence, Bernie won't be able to beat Trump. Biden's a stronger candidate. And then what they do is they poll the voters. And all they're doing really is sort of surveying how good their propaganda has been. How far has the propaganda reached and how far has their propaganda taken hold? Because they haven't had a serious debate. The column you refer to, Bill, is on my website at jeffcohn.org, and it was on 15 websites. It got thousands and thousands of shares, but it wasn't in the New York Times or the Washington Post. And what I pointed out was that Chris Matthews, who was a professional Bernie basher, he was on the air one day during the Nevada caucus, and he let the cat out of the bag. He actually blurted out the truth about so many of them in the Democratic establishment, what they're really worried about. He said, I wonder if Democratic moderates would really prefer 4 more years of Trump rather than a Bernie presidency, because that would have the Sanders movement taking over the Democratic Party in perpetuity. So maybe they would just feel better with 4 more years of Trump and then put in a Democrat like their own 4 years later. That's what MSNBC's Chris Matthews said on the air. And I think he was speaking for a number of Wall Street Democrats who fund both parties, a lot of the establishment that loves Biden, hates Bernie, would prefer Biden over Trump, but certainly doesn't want Bernie over Trump. And I think he was speaking that Bernie could win. And the big fear is that Bernie will win and that Bernie will transform the Democratic Party and that one day Schumer and Pelosi will be pushed aside because it seems like the main job of Nancy Pelosi as Speaker is to block Medicare for All, block the Green New Deal, block all sorts of progressive measures. So that's their fear, is that progressives would take over the Democratic Party. It's not that Bernie will get the nomination and then lose badly. I think the argument, I've written column after column about how Biden is a weaker candidate against Trump.
Yeah, let's talk about Bernie's program. In polling before in the last month and even during Super Tuesday, Bernie's program was overwhelmingly supported by Democrats. Even many Democrats who were frightened that Bernie was going to be a catastrophe for the party and bring in a weaponized Trump, which, of course, is much more likely if he runs against Biden, two incoherent people battling out in a debate. It's absurd, actually. It's absurd to think about the two of them.
Yeah, I think you're raising a good point. Programmatically, most Democrats support Medicare for All. They want a huge program to address climate change that also produces millions of good union jobs. They want to raise the minimum wage. They want to tax the rich. And that's not just Democrats. Most Republicans support a wealth tax. So what you're referring to are what people in the media are jokingly referring to Biden socialists. These are people who, when they're polled, support the Bernie agenda, but because they've been so propagandized that Bernie can't win and Biden's a strong candidate, they also tell pollsters, my vote was who I thought could beat Trump and wasn't who do I really believe in their programs. And the people who say I voted for who I thought could beat Trump go overwhelmingly for Biden. And I mean, I co-produced a documentary and we showed it in Portland. We showed it in seven different cities in Oregon a few months ago. It was called The Corporate Coup d'Etat. And we interviewed longtime Democrats, white working class voters from Ohio. And they voted for Obama twice. Some of them had voted for Bernie in the Democratic primary. And then they flipped over and voted for Trump. And the reason they did that is because of NAFTA. That was the main reason, that Hillary Clinton and her husband were associated with NAFTA, which was a job killer for the industrial Midwest. And Donald Trump is going to make sure that every swing voter in Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania knows that not only did Biden, you know, he was one of the minority of Democrats who voted for NAFTA, the minority of Democrats in Congress that voted for NAFTA. He was also pushing the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, to the end of the Obama administration. It's just going to be very easy for Trump to tie Biden to the swamp. Look at his son in Ukraine making all this money because of his dad. Look at how Biden protected the banks and the credit card companies against students. I mean, the only way to beat a faux populist like Trump, I believe, is with a real progressive populist program. No. Trump is serving the 1%, and here's the program that serves the 90%. That's a winning argument. Biden can't make it, and I fear that in these Rust Belt states, and I'm someone who grew up in Michigan, that they're just going to fry Biden if it's Biden versus Trump on issues like trade and Biden's corruption and connection to corporate power.
Yeah, not to mention his speech that was, unfortunately for him, recorded on audio and video, where he promises to cut Social Security and bring America back to a stable financial future.
Well, that's a key point, because
that's a disaster.
We're now at a position where Democrats can go on the offensive because Trump's new budget really threatens Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. But Biden is not the candidate who can pull that critique off because, as you say, there's speech after speech where he bragged. There's the one speech where he said, I've tried to cut Social Security four different times in my career.
That's
not a winning argument.
No.
And seniors and older people vote more than younger people.
Yeah, $100 million worth of TV showing Biden saying that is enough to sink a Roosevelt if he had said it. We have to do a station ID, Jeff.
Okay.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour on the Variety, of course, is in Struggles from Below. I'm talking to Jeff Cohn, co-founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting and the Online Roots Action Campaign, which is part of the Struggle from Below. And the Bernie campaign can be seen as a major development of that struggle. We've discussed Super Tuesday, why Joe Biden appears to have risen from the dead, and who is more electable. It's a laugher, actually. I mean, it's a horrible, morbid laugher to think of Bernie and Trump debating. Our sense is that Bernie could well beat Trump. Let's talk a little bit more about electability. Jeff Cohn, in his victory speech after Super Tuesday, Biden called on the Democrats to unite around him, to not criticize one another, that would destroy everything. He's the front runner. We just really have to, in every way, boost him up and not give Trump material for attacking Bernie. That was, of course, aimed at Bernie and Bernie supporters. And, of course, it also is a way that the establishment can, after Biden goes down in flames, much worse than Hillary, then they can say, that Bernie Sanders killed us.
Yeah.
But the only way Bernie can operate now is to compare their records. That's what he has to do to win Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. He has to compare their records on all these issues. What do you make of it? And how can Bernie get out of that bind, actually? I don't think it's possible, but maybe you see it as possible. He has to critique Biden.
Yeah, it's a bind that he's in, and you know it because the corporate mainstream media is still very powerful. You have all these people that see themselves as liberals or progressives. They watch MSNBC, CNN, and they get propagandized that somehow Bernie was disruptive in 2016. If people are interested in the real facts about that, The New Yorker wrote an article a couple days before Election Day where the reporter was getting very tired trailing after Bernie as he went all over the country campaigning for Hillary. And yet they have this scapegoat that Bernie somehow is the reason Hillary lost. Bernie, after the Democratic convention, did everything he was asked to try to make sure Trump didn't win. And today, you're right, they're setting up this, they're putting him in a box. Bernie is the least personal politician there is. In the debates between Bernie and Hillary, the one-on-one debates, Bernie would talk about how campaign finance and money from billionaires is an important factor, and it's not a good thing, and you shouldn't take money from them. And then Hillary said, well, are you calling me corrupt? And Bernie would retreat because he never gets personal. And so, I mean, Bernie is going to talk about the differences between his record and Biden's record, and the mainstream media is going to say he's getting personal. The liberal media like CNN, MSNBC, he's helping Trump. The opposition researchers in the Trump campaign know every pro-corporate, anti-working class vote and comment that Biden has ever made. They don't need Bernie. They don't need columns by Jeff Cohen or Norman Solomon to tell them about Joe Biden's spotty record. The Trump campaign has known all this stuff for a year. But you are right. The mainstream media, when Bernie compares his record, Bernie was against the invasion of Iraq. Biden was for it. Bernie was a leader in the fight against NAFTA. Biden was for it. Bernie opposed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which barred openly gay people from serving in the military, and Biden supported it. Bernie was against DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, the federal ban on same-sex marriage. Biden supported that. Bernie opposed it. The Hyde Amendment, which prevents poor women from accessing abortion, from getting any federal funds for abortion. Biden repeatedly supported that. Bernie was against it. So I'm hoping Biden, if he is the nominee, will beat Trump. I think he'd be a weaker candidate than Bernie. I'm not sure either Bernie or Biden will beat Trump, but I believe Bernie would be a stronger candidate. But predicting presidential outcomes, which is all the mainstream media do when they say Bernie can't win, Bernie can't win. And even though with our own eyes, we see Joe Biden being so weak on the campaign trail and so weak in these debates, they've convinced all these liberal Democratic voters that Bernie can't win, but Biden can win. I mean, it's a ridiculous pursuit, and it's all the mainstream media do because they won't cover policy. All they cover is horse race. Who's up, who's down, who endorsed whom. That's all they can cover in mainstream media. But if they covered policy, I think these liberal and progressive people who watch MSNBC every night or they watch CNN, if they understood the huge policy differences, as you pointed out at the beginning of this interview, Bill, his policy positions are not only more popular with Democratic voters, most of them are very popular across the political spectrum, like the Republican majority that's for raising taxes on the rich. So I believe it's foolhardy to spend all your time predicting presidential outcomes. We have an unstable reality TV star who won the last election. And 8 years before that, a young African-American with little national experience, middle name Hussein, won the presidential election. So this idea that a New York Jewish person who's supportive of democratic socialism, that he can't win an election, I just can't go there because I know it's volatile, and the role of media in a democratic society would be to help the voters understand the different policy positions instead of this barrage of Biden can win, Bernie can't win, which may or may not be true, and obviously I've argued is probably not true.
Bernie could well win. He also could well lose, and there's not much point in talking about the horse race. There is a lot of good reason, though, for doing what we did, was begin focusing on policy and actually what the American people want and how can we convince them that it's a possibility. Even if Bernie won, it seems to me, without a movement, a very powerful movement, actually, behind those programs and policies, he'll get savaged by capital strike, financial outflows. There's a whole series of things. Capital is so powerful and can move its money rapidly and bring down governments that way. They don't even have to call in the army, which they could, in fact, do, maybe. But, Jeff, tell us, it seems to me the future is in talking about climate change and the necessity of action, talking about inequality and the necessity of action, talking about housing and the precariousness of most people and how it's undermining people, talk about the opioid crisis and this epidemic of suicides in all of the states that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden will abandon, those parts of the working class, the deplorables, as Hillary pointed out, one of the great election gaffes in this century. Yeah. What's your
point? Well, look, I think there's a lot of grounds for optimism. The thing hovering over us, we all know, is the ticking time bomb of climate change. If it weren't for that, you know, if we had decades, I would be optimistic. And I'm a senior. I'd be optimistic that there are these youth movements fighting for a Green New Deal like the Sunrise Movement. I'd be optimistic because the Democratic Socialists of America is a group now of tens of thousands of activists, and it's largely young people. And when people are polled, all young people are polled, not just, you know, those who go to liberal colleges. Young people are more favorable toward socialism, however they define it, than they are toward capitalism. Young people are the most pro-Bernie, anti-Trump demographic. They're the most anti-racist, anti-sexist. So if it wasn't for this time bomb of climate change, there'd be lots of grounds for saying, all right, my generation didn't pull it off, but this next generation or two are going to usher in a decent society and get away from the corporate greed and corporatism that's so ruined our society in the last 40 years. So there's a lot of grounds to be optimistic. 2018, think about it, with all the teacher strikes, even in conservative states, the states you were referring to, there were more workers who engaged engaged in labor stoppages in 2018, and that's according to the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics, than in any of the previous 32 years. So there's a lot of activism. If Bernie is the president, the movement will be inspired to help him win his agenda and fight the things that you're describing, corporate media bias, capital flight. And if Biden somehow gets the nomination, and if he does, I certainly hope he beats Trump, if Biden gets the nomination, there's a huge progressive movement that's going to be ready to organize protests and petition campaigns and street demonstrations when Biden waffles. Now, if Trump gets elected, the resistance will get very, very strong, and it's going to have to go, I believe, the best tactic against Trump, and there will be some economic meltdowns in the second term, and we have this coronavirus that we haven't mentioned. But I think the best tactic against Trump, if he does get reelected, is going to be mass nonviolent demonstrations of the kind that would make Martin Luther King Jr. proud. That's the way to gum up the Trump system, and it's got to stay nonviolent. But again, we have various scenarios. In any of the scenarios post-November, progressive movements are growing, and they're especially growing among young people.
Jeff Cohn, it's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot. Keep up your good work. There's still a long way to the election, and Bernie really does have a good shot at it if he and the movement can focus on what Bernie stands for, actually, and convince people. So thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bill.